Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, January 2nd, 2016. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. A group calling for the resignation of President Robert Mugabe says they will intensify their campaign this year.
There is quite a lot that we are going to do, and we are going to be very much active, as we now have a lot of partners and as well as sympathizers on the ground willing to walk the talk with us.
An organization fighting for community empowerment encourages Zimbabweans to spearhead the implementation of United Nations development goals.
We are saying that we need those people who are affected by poverty to be involved. They have to come out with their developmental projects. They have to initiate their programs. They have to come out with what they want.
Zimbabweans have been urged to create fresh income through engaging in fish farming. And as usual, we'll take a closer look at women's issues. A group calling for the resignation of President Robert Mugabe says they will intensify their campaign this year. Charles Nyoni of Occupy Africa Unity Square, led by abducted political activist Itai Tsamara, says they've devised many ways of ensuring that President Mugabe leaves office for allegedly failing to do his job. Nyoni tells Studio 7 they will also put pressure on the state to find Tsamara, who was abducted by an unknown assailant 9 months ago.
My hopes for 2016, the return of Itai Tsamara, as well as the youth for representation in parliament, the quota system.
And when we are talking about some of these issues, especially the issue of Itai Tsamara, what do you think the state can do to make sure that he is brought back?
There's quite a lot that the state can do to show that Itai is brought back. The first one is their seriousness in investigating his disappearance. That's the first stage.
So now, taking into account that the state has not been doing a lot, do you think that they will do it this time around?
Definitely they won't do it this time around, but we will push them until they budge, because that's what we are going to be doing this 2016.
So now, tell us in detail your kind of program for 2016.
We are still mapping the way forward since we just came from our annual general meeting. So there is quite a lot that we are going to do, and we are going to be very much active, as we now have a lot of partners and as well as sympathizers on the ground willing to walk the talk with us.
So you are continuing with your agenda of trying to force the president to leave office? And don't you think that that's a dangerous way to go?
Not trying to force, but we are going to force him to leave the office. It is a dangerous thing, but if we don't do it, then who's going to do it for us? So better us than anyone else.
So do you have new strategies of doing that?
Plenty of new strategies, which unfortunately I can't reveal here because of reasons that are security issues. But definitely, yes, we have. Since we've now partnered up with other organizations who are into this full time.
How do you think the president's office is going to react to what you're going to do this year? And are you prepared for that?
Yes. They are going to do their usual public response of trying to beat us down and beat us out. But when you use violence against people who are peaceful, you always tend to lose, because peace and violence don't go hand in hand.
We have seen that the president's office has not yet reacted to your request for further investigations into the disappearance of Itai Tsamara. So now, at what stage are you in now in trying to establish from that office where Tsamara went?
Now we have engaged, we have reached far into the president's office and engaged his PEMSEC in order for him to book us an interview so that we can sit 1v1 with the president and really talk about this issue in person.
Did you meet the permanent secretary?
We are yet to meet with him.
That was Charles Nyoni, a member of Occupy Africa Unity Square, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Direct from Washington.
An organization fighting for community empowerment says Zimbabweans should spearhead the implementation of United Nations development goals. Fisher Chianike, President of the United Nations Zimbabwe, tells Studio 7 the country has identified some of the achievable goals that can be initiated and implemented by communities.
We have come out with 7 priority SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, for the next 5 years. Although these SDGs were declared for the next 15 years, as an association, we have just prioritized about 7 SDGs to work for 5 years. And these SDGs, we have chosen the critical SDGs in Zimbabwe, especially in Zimbabwe, like SDG number 1, number 2, number 5, number 6, number 13, numbers 18 and 17.
So briefly, what are they?
Yes. Number 1, our focus is on the eradication of poverty. Number 2, focus is on food security. Number 5 is gender equality. Number 6 is on water and sanitation, to improve clean water in Zimbabwe. Then number 13 is on climate change, adaptation and mitigation on climate change. Number 16 is on peace building and governance. Number 17 is on means of implementation involving financing for development for all these 17 SDGs.
Now, let's talk about the eradication of extreme poverty and hunger in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
How achievable is that?
We can talk of the lessons which we learned from Millennium Development Goals. It's going to be very difficult if we don't include some of the targets, some of the issues which we highlighted at the Rio Plus 20 conference in 2012, whereby we agreed that we are going to focus on engaging the grassroots, like on SDG number 1. We agreed that we're going to involve the grassroots. We are going to not to leave anyone on these SDGs, especially all the 17 SDGs.
But looking at some of these issues, you know what? It appears as if people are primarily, you know, focusing on getting food on the table. So how do you engage people when they're so hungry?
In Zimbabwe, it's very difficult. We need food on the table, but we need to engage them at these initial stages on how we can work together as government, as civil society and the grassroots together. The government should not impose on what they want to do in Zimbabwe, but they have to engage the grassroots.
Now there's there's a danger here. You know, in most cases when you talk about development, that flows from top going downwards. And maybe the people themselves have to initiate some of these issues. How about getting it that way? Instead of you people initiating, does it go that way, or maybe it's the other way around?
We are saying that we need those people who are affected by poverty to be involved. They have to come out with their developmental projects. They have to initiate their programs. They have to come out with what they want using resources available in their communities before they seek funding from outside, but they have to use their own resources available there. So the government should not go to the community and impose. For example, when there is no bridge, then the government should not just go and construct a bridge there, but they have to consult the grassroots, the communities. Where do they want that bridge to be constructed first?
And then, Mr. Chianike, when we talk about the other goals that were set by the UN, we are talking about the achievement of universal primary education. And right now we see that in Zimbabwe, you know, it's sort of like chaotic in terms of the education system right now. People cannot go to school, there's no money, and so forth. So how do you move, you know, in achieving this kind of goal?
On achieving SDG number 3 for education, it means that we need to work together as communities, as the government, including the grassroots people and those people who are affected by poverty.
And then when we look at issues like combating HIV, AIDS, malaria, and so forth, so where is Zimbabwe right now?
It's very fortunate that we managed to reduce HIV prevalence from 24% about to 15%, because of advocacy programs, and the government was committed. For the past 15 years, the government was fully committed to make sure that AIDS levy is paid and some campaigns were being held, and the Minister of Health was fully committed to make sure that the HIV programs are there.
But indications right now are that the HIV rate is actually increasing, among certain age groups. Why is it that it's going up right now?
The problem which they now is poverty. You understand that Zimbabwe is facing some economic challenges. So HIV prevalence is increasing because of some economic challenges in Zimbabwe. We need to come together to make sure that we address the issue of poverty in Zimbabwe.
That was Fisher Chiyanike, President of the United Nations in Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Zimbabweans have been urged to create fresh income through engaging in fish farming. Angiston Sibanda of the Matopo Development Community Forum tells Studio 7's Chris Gande, aquaculture is a lucrative business that provides nutrition to families while generating income for business operators.
We have realized that there is a dire need to consider sustainable projects that empower communities, and aquaculture is one of the projects that empower communities, especially in light of the harsh economic environment. It is a very simple project that is cheap, and that is not for the barriers, and that is very minimum input, but with highly paying results. In the other parts of the country, in Masuan and Central Masuan and West, in Kariba, we are actually doing that already. We are, as Matopo Community Development Forum, we are trying to bring it into the Matopoan provinces where jobs get discussed in the light of the closing of the closure of industries in Vilawa. So we want to create jobs and also assist families to get cheap and affordable rubber and nutrition, because as you know, fish is very nutritious. So we have the 3 points of that in this project.
Now, can you tell us, is it not labor intensive, or does it not need a lot of capital to start such a business?
Fish farming is very cheap.
That was Angiston Sibanda of the Matopo Community Development Forum speaking with Studio 7's Chris Gande from Bulawayo.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Vietnamese human rights lawyer and blogger Nguyen Van Dai was arrested on December 16th by Vietnamese authorities. The United States is deeply concerned by the arrest of Nguyen Van Dai for alleged propaganda against the state under national security-related Article 88 of Vietnam's Penal Code. It is the same charge on which he was sentenced to 4 years in prison in 2007. If convicted, he faces 3 to 20 years in prison. Mr. Dai writes occasional blog posts for Radio Free Asia, or RFA. In a recent interview with RFA, he described how authorities have been harassing him and the people working for Lon Tom, an independent web TV channel, since its launch last August. In addition, Mr. Dai reported, policemen in Nay An province assaulted him on December 6th after he organized a meeting related to human rights. The United States urges Vietnam to ensure its laws and actions are consistent with its international obligations and commitments. We call on the government to release unconditionally all prisoners of conscience, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby, and allow all individuals in Vietnam to express their political views without fear of retribution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As usual, it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. On our Women's Forum tonight, we are gladly joined by Mrs. Emilia Mukaratirwa, the Vice President of ZAPU. Mrs. Mukaratirwa will help us analyze the gains and challenges that women faced last year and also what the prospects look like for 2016. How would you characterize 2015 when you look at women's issues in the country?
2015 was a very challenging year, and for women in particular. more so because of the economic challenges that continue to bedevil our country. I'm sure you remember the riots that took place in the country. Those riots were almost on a monthly basis, if not more, where the vendors would have clashes with the municipal police and even the Zimbabwe Republic police themselves. And these women were trying to eke out a living for their families, but at the end of the day would not find the kind of support they were looking for. Instead would be harassed and traumatized and that sort of thing, and would lose out on their way. It has not been easy for them to be able to carry on trying to find a way of sustaining their families in terms of provision, be it food, clothing, school fees, and so forth and so on. And also on the political arena, it has been challenges as far as women are concerned, in the sense that we are not realizing the level of representation that is required at that policy-making level in terms of governance and so on. So there is hardly enough representation for women, so that when policies are put into place, we have women speaking for women and working out for women, because there is no other person who better to represent a woman than a woman. Hopefully in this year, we will see things changing in terms of presentation of women at those high levels. But I must hasten to add that it's not going to be a walk in the park, because we have certain sectors that remain alive to being hurdles for the number of women increasing in those levels of leadership.
What would you say are some of the impediments preventing women from taking up decision-making positions, whether be it political, business, or otherwise in the country?
There are several sectors, and I'm starting with the one that I'm most passionate about, because this is a truth that we need to tell each other as women. It's something that we need to address as women and own up to it. You'd find that there's that commonly referred to phrase, PhD or pull her down, commonly known as pull her down syndrome. This is something which still remains very much alive amongst us as women. I think we have seen it happen where we've had other women being used to attack other women, other women being used to make sure that other women are removed from their positions and so forth and so on. I think at the end of the day, as women, we must come to a point where we refuse to be used by men to attack each other for their personal gain, but at a cost to the nation. Because as long as we do not have women representing us at those high levels in government, in parliament, in these, all these other institutions, then we suffer as women because there is nobody to speak on our behalf. So that is one. And secondly, I think another challenge is that as women, we continue to suffer from the lack of support from our families, the community, and the nation at large. And this has a cultural and historical background. And we're talking of patriarchy here. We're talking of where even ourselves as women, we have been made to believe that we belong in the kitchen. Our work is just to be at home and sweep around and wash dishes. And that is something which we need to encourage each other as women to say, look, we can also play a part in the development of our country by being out there, by taking up those challenging positions.
What do you think are the prospects for 2016 when you look at the women's movement?
And going ahead in the year 2016, again, I'm sorry, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I will come back to the fact that I would love to see more women participating in governance issues. I would love to see more women taking up positions of leadership.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Emilia Mukaratirwa, the Vice President of ZAPU, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
Thank you very much.
I'm Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. Now to recap today's top stories. A group calling for the resignation of President Robert Mugabe says they will intensify their campaign this year. And Zimbabweans have been urged to create fresh income through engaging in fish farming. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a prosperous 2016. Good night, Zimbabwe.